This is KRBD. I'm Emily Files, and Michelle O'Brien from the school board is here to fill us in about what happened at the meeting last night. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So, end of the school year. Congratulations goes out first off to all of the K-High graduates and the upcoming Revilla graduates. That graduation will happen on June 4th at the Ted Ferry Civic Center. So, as par for the course, at the end of the school year, there were about 18 actions to be taken. Very simple, so I don't think we need to go over that.
But that's just approving teaching contracts.
You got it. Stuff like housekeeping, that's what I call it, end of year housekeeping. But there were a couple of interesting things on the agenda last night. You know, first off, something that was, you know, I think kind of near and dear to a number of folks in the community was the discussion surrounding the possibility of a new logo on the gym floor at K-High. Mm-hmm. And so just to give a little background, the K-High gym floor is due to be sanded down to the bones for the first time in approximately 20 plus years. You know, that's a typical thing that happens during the maintenance of a gym floor over the years. You just kind of coat it over, and then eventually you take it down to the bones. So the question came up apparently over at K-High during the course of planning for this, you know, do we want a new logo? And so
Is this just for the gym floor, or would changing it on the gym floor also change it?
Great question, because that was asked as well. So Sam Nelson reached out to the art class at K-High, and they designed a new logo, which is beautiful. It's great. And then in the process of getting this new logo, it came to the board's attention, and naturally, you know, some alumni were concerned, and, you know, people wanted to have their input from around the community. So there was some concern there. Like I said, the new logo is fantastic, and it was designed
Could you describe really briefly what it looks like?
It is a very typical Northwest design with two fishes. Two fish, I haven't had enough coffee. Two fish, and there was a basketball in the middle, and it says K-High, and it appears to be native in design. However, we did confirm with the artist, who is a young man who's a freshman at K-High, Sam Rasmussen, that it's just very typical. The best analogy one can give is it's very similar to the Seattle Seahawks. In other words, it's not Tlingit, it's not Haida, it's neither of those, it's simply Northwest.
Okay, inspired by
you got it.
Native
you
art.
Got it. Okay. So in the course of I would have to say all of us board members were just getting tons and tons of comments. And that's what we like. We want community input. So I came up with the idea. I said, you know what, let's put it out there and put it online and allow people to comment and like it through social media or through the district website.
This was on the school district Facebook page?
Yes, as well as the school district website.
Okay.
You know, because some folks, they're maybe not motivated to come and sit for hours at a school board meeting to insert their comment, right? They want to do so from the comfort of their own home. Well, we had nearly 10% of the community comment and like and vote.
Which is how many people?
It was roughly 1,300 folks that voted online.
Wow.
So far. And so 85% of those voted in favor of keeping the old logo.
So, but is it something that would impact the logo in other places?
Well, that was brought up in discussion. You know,
so is
that's
that
a real question.
Certain thing?
Right. And so there were still some questions that remained. I think the feeling of the board, although it was a discussion item, so no action was taken because that was not on the agenda to take any action, was that we really need to listen to the public. You know, when 85% of 10% of the population roughly comments and says we really are in favor of keeping the traditional logo, you kind of really need to listen to that.
I would think, though, maybe people would be more open to the idea of a new logo if it's just on the gym floor and doesn't impact it in other places.
Like, right.
Is it on the uniforms? And
lots to think about. You know, the economic impact of perhaps changing the logo across the board. Consideration of what the logo that currently is there, what that means, and maybe some history on that logo. So lots of things to think about. So, you know, one thing that someone brought up last night was, you know, if we're going to listen to the alumni, why not listen to the students that are currently attending? And so maybe they would want the new logo. So in a nutshell, no action taken. We're going to bring it back based on getting some more input from the community. perhaps bring it back in July if need be, because really that's when we have a decision has to be made.
That's when it's happening.
Okay. Exactly. Exactly. So, but it was a really positive experience. It was great to hear from the community. That has always been one of the number one goals of the school board, is to get community involvement mm-hmm. in the district. And we certainly got it with this one.
Well, I guess it's good that people are passionate about the K-High logo.
I think it's great. And you know what? I've got to give a huge shout out to the young man that designed this new logo, because it truly is beautiful. And I think the overwhelming feeling of the board was whether or not that new logo goes on the gym floor. It seems like it may not. It may be leaning that way, that it will keep with the traditional logo. Mm-hmm. But that new logo is outstanding, and we want to encourage artists, young artists, to feel like they are part of the school community and that their art means something, because we're an artist community, right? So mm-hmm. we felt very strongly that at the very least that logo should be used somewhere within the school.
Right. People don't have anything against that design.
Not at all.
Just against changing the logo itself.
I think it's all about the tradition.
So it might be an art piece somewhere else in the school.
Absolutely.
Okay. So the nutrition policy was also...
Cupcake Wars, back at it again. We brought that policy back again, Board Policy 5040. We have been around and around and around about this. And basically what this is our current board policy regarding student nutrition is not in alignment with recent changes at the federal level. And so in order to receive that federal funding in the amount of roughly $500,000 for our school lunch program, we need to bring our policy in alignment with that. Very strong feelings all around the table.
So is it mainly people are afraid that the K-High teams will have restrictions in fundraising? Is that the main concern?
I think that's one of the major concerns. You know, you're looking at the way that this policy has to be worded. It would prevent, essentially, the dance team from selling candy grams. Mm-hmm. The candy grams that are clearly taken off of school campus and eaten elsewhere, or in many cases, delivered off campus. So some huge concerns, because, you know, as we all know, our sports and activities teams have to travel, and in order to do so,
they have to raise a lot of money.
Typically, $1 million a year. So
total for all the teams.
Yeah. So, you know, it's huge. And to be prevented from doing that, that seems really, really constricting to our sports and activities.
Have other school districts around the country have had hesitation about this policy? Because it seems like it wouldn't just be, it might affect Alaska schools that have to travel to compete especially, but...
Well, that's a great point, because it does affect Alaska schools, particularly schools in Southeast, perhaps more so than, say, a school in Illinois or Ohio. Because if you think about it, those sports and activities teams, when they have an away game, they simply hop on a bus and drive down the road for 30 to 45 minutes. It's a tank of gas.
But schools down south probably also have things like Valentine's Day, candy grams, that type of thing.
And they will be similarly affected. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the overall economic ramifications, they will not be affected to the level that Ketchikan or anyone in Southeast or Alaska would be.
But do you know of any other school districts that are hesitant or pushing against these policy changes?
You know, I've not heard anything through the grapevine statewide as of yet. But there, you know, we just got out of legislative session. We just went through a budget cycle. So I think that, you know, those were probably in the press a little bit more than the quote-unquote cupcake wars. You know, our issue with the quote-unquote cupcake wars did make the press statewide. But, you know, Ketchikan has a reputation, particularly this year in the educational forum, for speaking out about what they really do and what they really don't want. So it doesn't surprise me.
So could there be exceptions made on a state basis?
Well, no, and that's a great point. So the question was brought up last night. This is a federally mandated policy that we need to adhere to. So we wrote in, with the help of Stephen Bradford, we wrote in these exceptions, if you will, these kind of deviations, minor deviations, mm-hmm. in my opinion, that would allow us to, for example, sell the candy grams that would be consumed off campus. That was taken to the state level, and the Department of Education then said no, those do not adhere. So the question was raised last night, how is the state telling us what the federal law mandates? Is it going to be the state that mandates this or the feds that mandate this? The bottom line is, and this is kind of where it got dicey, the borough assembly has oftentimes said that they do not care for federal overreach, if you will. And then they have also said that they support the school district by being the banker. So some of the members last night said, why don't we table this policy and take it back to the borough for their consideration? Because quite frankly, if we don't pass this policy in alignment with federal laws, we'll lose that $500,000 in funding. So the thought was by some of the members on the board last night that we should take it back to the borough for consideration. If indeed they don't care for federal overreach and they are indeed the borough's banker, why don't they consider funding the $500,000? Not saying I agree with that or not personally, but that's what happened. And so this particular, once again, this policy was shelved until the June meeting, or it's got to be passed by July 1st. So something will happen in June.
Right. So is this a serious request? Does the school board seriously think that the borough might be willing to fund that $500,000 that the district would lose if the federal policy wasn't adhered to?
You know, who knows? Who knows? You know, the borough assembly has their own constraints and their own goals. But I think what typically happens is, you know, we'll have a meeting and then perhaps Superintendent Boyle and Manager Bockhorst will get together and have discussions and then communicate to both the borough assembly and the school board. It'll all get hashed out in the end. This could have just been...
Is it kind of like a last resort? Like, is there
it
anything
is a last,
we can do?
You know, honestly, it is a last resort because here's the deal. We have a number of kids in our district that this school lunch, breakfast, snack may be the only meals that they eat. Mm-hmm. So is your school board interested in negating federal funding that actually feeds those kids free and reduced lunches and breakfasts?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not. But we're certainly expressing our dissatisfaction with these huge constraints that the federal government is putting on us.
What about the obesity study in Ketchikan children? I think it was ninth grade and under. There was that study that I think it was 42% of children are overweight or obese in Ketchikan schools. Has that factored into the discussion at all?
You know,
this policy?
No. Mm-hmm. It's always in the back of your mind because we always want our kids to be healthy. And this, the health and wellness initiative has been fantastic throughout our schools. Unfortunately, that grant is not going to be funded next year, which in my mind is very sad.
Oh, did that come up at the meeting?
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. It did. So that we're going to look at some alternatives as to, you know, how can we look at this? Are we going to maintain this funding from a different source, which would be here locally? And to what level are we going to maintain that funding, or are we not going to be able to maintain that funding?
Maybe we should back up a minute and explain what this grant is.
The grant, the Health and Wellness Initiative, is what paid for the ability for us to have on staff an individual who would work with the schools and the community to reduce obesity in our student population. And in large part, I think what the public would be most familiar with is the uptick in healthier lunches and meals served in our schools and the awareness of eating healthy in our schools. Mm-hmm. And I think in my own personal opinion, this was not discussed last night at the board meeting, but it's really brought a high level of awareness amongst the community in terms of what our kids are eating and how healthy they are.
Mm-hmm.
That was a grant-funded position.
Wellness director.
You got it. And that was originally intended to be, I believe, 2 years. However, after the first year, it was not funded. I can't recall for what reason why.
I checked with the department, the state department that funds that, and they said that Ketchikan was one of the school districts that got 1 year limited funding out of, I don't remember how many districts, but basically, they didn't have enough money to fund all of these districts for 2 or 5 years or whatever it was. So Ketchikan was one of the ones that only got a year of funding, and they were hoping to continue it, but they're not able to.
Okay, so let's look at both of those topics together. So in one sense, we're talking about Board Policy 5040, which mm-hmm. is federally mandated, which has some pretty stringent regulations on food that can and cannot be served in our schools.
Trying to keep unhealthy food out of
you
the schools.
You got it. So on this hand, we're mandated to serve certain types of food. However, mm-hmm. on the other hand, we had this great position that was grant funded by the state to actually assist in helping us to achieve what the feds are mandating, and that's not going to be funded.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an unfortunate situation. You'll see both of those topics coming back at future meetings. And I should also mention that very typical for the summertime, there'll only be one board meeting in June and one in July, and the next one will be June 11th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we know the July date yet?
I think I wrote it down. I want to say it's July 17th. Yeah, I didn't write it down, but I think it's July 17th.
All right. Well, we're getting close to the 9 o'clock hour, so we've got to wrap it up. But thank you so much,
Michelle.
Thanks
a lot.
All right. It's 8:54.